Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, June 2nd, and coming up in today's episode, floods and landslides leave over 34 dead across northeast India. 30 years prison sentence for Anna University rape convict. Karnataka Film Federation demands ban for Kamal Hassan's Thug Life. And Volodymyr Zelensky hails Ukraine's deepest strike inside Russia since the beginning of Russia-Ukraine war. Over the past 3 days, severe floods and landslides have claimed the lives of at least 34 people across northeastern states of India, including Assam, Manipur, Tripura, Sikkim, Meghalaya, and Arunachal Pradesh. The Indian Air Force and Assam Rifles have been deployed for rescue operations in the worst affected areas. In Assam, floods have impacted 764 villages across 19 districts, affecting over 3.6 lakh people. 10 deaths have been reported so far as well. The Brahmaputra and 5 other rivers are currently flowing above danger levels, and more than 10,000 people have been shifted to relief camps. Assam Minister Jayanta Malabarua confirmed that rupees 4 lakh compensation will be given to families of the deceased. In Manipur, over 19,000 people have been affected by heavy rains and river overflows. Officials reported 3,365 homes damaged and 47 landslides in the last 4 days. Imphal East has been hit the hardest, with many localities submerged. Relief camps have been set up and about 800 people have been rescued so far by the army as well as the Assam Rifles. Manipur Governor Ajay Kumar Bhalla visited flooded areas and extended school holidays in several districts. In Sikkim's Mangar district, more than 1,200 tourists were stranded after torrential rains and landslides blocked access routes. The first convoy of 18 vehicles carrying over 100 tourists reached Fidang on Monday. An additional convoy of 284 vehicles, 16 bikes, and 1,617 tourists is currently en route at the time of recording. District Collector Anant Jain, who led the operation, confirmed all tourists from Lachung will be safely evacuated in this convoy. Meanwhile, search operations have resumed for 9 individuals missing since 29th of May, when the vehicle fell into the Teesta River near Munshitang. The operation is being coordinated by the police, ITBP, BRO, Army and the NDRF. 2 rescued tourists are recovering well at a hospital in Gangtok. The Tourism and Civil Aviation Department has urged travellers to stay informed about weather as well as road conditions. A statement read, and I quote, "Your safety remains our utmost priority. Necessary relief and evacuation support will be provided promptly." Union Home Minister Amit Shah also posted on X and he said, quote, "Spoke with Chief Ministers of Assam, Sikkim and Arunachal Pradesh and the Governor of Manipur. The Modi government stands like a rock in support of the people of Northeast." Unquote. The Anna University rape convict will spend the rest of his life behind bars. Gyan Sekharan has been sentenced a life sentence for sexually assaulting a 19-year-old student at Anna University in December of 2024. The Mahila Court, presided by Judge M. Rajalakshmi, also imposed a fine of Rs. 90,000 on the accused, now convict. The judge ruled that Gyan Sekharan must serve a minimum of 30 years in prison. He was found guilty on all 11 charges, including rape, sexual assault, intimidation and kidnapping. The prosecution relied on testimonies from 29 witnesses and a detailed 100-page charge sheet submitted by the police. Despite pleading for leniency, citing his responsibilities towards his elderly mother and a young daughter, the court handed him down the maximum punishment. Judge Rajalakshmi noted that the severity of the crime and the weight of the evidence did not permit a reduced sentence. The incident took place on 23rd of December when Gyan Sekharan entered the Anna University campus. A biryani seller by profession, he attacked a male friend of the student before assaulting her and recording the act on video with the intent to blackmail. He was arrested the same day. Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin welcomed the verdict, praising the swift police response, quote, "Through their action, Tamil Nadu police have responded to those who do drama over women's safety," unquote. This is, of course, because the case had withdrawn significant attention and outrage in December had led to widespread protests. Opposition leader Edappa K. Palaniswamy had raised concerns about the convict allegedly speaking to a sir during the assault. However, police clarified that no one else was involved and the accused had pretended to be on a call. During the interrogation, Gyanasekaran also admitted to multiple thefts in the city. Authorities recovered over 100 sovereigns of stolen gold and luxury SUV from him. The investigation came under criticism for a while after survivor's identity was revealed in the first information report was publicly accessible online. Although police denied responsibility, the court called the breach a serious lapse. A woman-only SIT was formed to examine the case and the data leak. The court also directed the government to provide Rs 25 lakh in interim assistance to the survivor. The case also became a political flashpoint as BJP state president K. Annamalai publicly flogged himself in protest and launched a 48-day fast. He also shared an image claiming Gyanasekaran was linked to the ruling DMK, which the party denied at the time. Chief Minister M.K. Stalin had said, "Anyone can be a party sympathizer, they do not have to necessarily be a member of the party." The controversy surrounding veteran actor Kamal Haasan's recent comments about the Kannada language continue to escalate with a strong response from the Karnataka film industry. The Karnataka Film Chamber of Commerce has issued a stern warning. Unless Haasan issues an apology for his remarks, his upcoming film Thug Life may not be released in the state. Quote, "If he does not apologize, Thug Life won't run in Karnataka, that is for sure. This is not about the industry, this is about the state," said M. Narasimhanu, president of Karnataka Film Chamber of Commerce. He added, and I'm quoting again, "Even political parties are opposing it. Pro-Kannada organizations are making it clear that he has to respond. Our exhibitors, our distributors are not ready to screen it. How can the movie then release here?" The remarks that sparked this controversy came during the promotional event for the very same film Thug Life, which features Kamal Haasan alongside Trishna Krishnan and Silambasaran TR. During the event, Haasan reportedly stated that Kannada was born out of Tamil, a comment that has not gone down well in Karnataka. The statement prompted swift criticism from politicians across party lines. Karnataka Chief Minister Siddaramaiah said Kannada has a rich and ancient history, suggesting that the actor may lack full understanding of the language's roots. BJP State President BY Vijayendra also weighed in, calling for an apology. Quote, "One must love their mother tongue, but flaunting arrogance in its name is a mark of cultural bankruptcy. Especially for artists, it is essential to possess the ethos of respecting every language," unquote. He further noted that Haasan has acted in several Kannada films in the past, but felt his recent words reflected blatant arrogance. Pro-Kannada groups like the Karnataka Rakshana Vedike have also taken a strong stance, joining the chorus demanding an apology from the actor. Kamal Haasan, however, has remained firm in his position. Quote, "It is a democracy. I believe in law and justice. My love for Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh and Kerala is true. Nobody will suspect it except those who have an agenda. I've been threatened earlier too, and if I'm wrong, I would apologize. If I'm not, I won't." Meanwhile, Kamal Haasan is also due to join Lok Sabha soon, as it was confirmed last week that his party has in fact nominated him to take the Rajya Sabha seat in the state quota. Ukraine has carried out what it calls its longest-range drone strike so far, targeting 5 Russian military airfields thousands of kilometers from the front line. The large-scale operation codenamed Spider's Web struck down inside Russian territory on Sunday, with Kyiv claiming damage to dozens of military aircraft. The Security Service of Ukraine, or SBU, said The attacks were aimed at aircraft used to bomb Ukrainian cities. They reported at least 41 Russian planes were damaged, including Tu-95 and Tu-22 strategic bombers, as well as A-50 radar aircraft. The Russian Defense Ministry confirmed drone strikes on 5 airfields in the regions of Murmansk, Irkutsk, Ivanano, Ryazan, and Amur. Quote, the Kyiv regime staged a terror attack with EPV drones on airfields. All attacks in Ivanovo, Ryazan, and Amur were repelled. No casualties were reported, a statement said from the Russian side. However, it admitted several aircraft caught fire at bases in Murmansk and Irkutsk. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called it a brilliant result, saying 117 drones were launched. Quote, this was a most long-range operation. And then he claimed that 34% of Russia's strategic cruise missile carriers were among those sites that were hit. According to SBU sources, as reported in foreign media, drones were smuggled into Russia in advance, hidden inside wooden structure on trucks, kind of a modern-day Trojan War. At the time of the attack, these opened remotely to release the drones towards the targets. Images released show black drones stored inside a container, kind of like in compartments. The Belia air base is in Irkutsk Oblast, over 4,000 kilometers from Ukraine, and the Olenya base in Murmansk were reportedly hit. Online videos show aircraft on fire and heavy smoke at both sides. Ukraine's SBU has estimated the damage to Russian aircraft could be worth $7 billion. Russia has not confirmed this figure but has acknowledged fires at some airfields and arrests linked to the attacks. Officials said suspects included the driver of a vehicle from which the drone was launched. President Zelensky, meanwhile, has also said those involved in planning the attacks have been evacuated from the Russian territory. The timing of the attack is significant. On Sunday, Mr. Zelensky announced a Ukrainian delegation would meet Russian officials in Istanbul on Monday, led by Defense Minister Rustem Umerov. Talks are being hosted by Turkey following pressure from the United States to seek a resolution to the ongoing war. Russia said it has prepared its own peace terms, though it has not made them public. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV. Your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.